Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. It's our Wednesday night independent music showcase. It's Wednesday, the 28th day of December of 2016. This is our last show of the year. We've been doing this since 2008. We're going into our ninth year with doing this show. The idea behind this show was to promote independent musicians and to get the music out and get a venue and an avenue for people to be able to listen to all this great music. No greater than what you just heard. Ann Wilson is a Columbus, Ohio singer. She's got a great voice. We're going to talk to her tonight. She's our special guest on John Talk Radio tonight. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. So that was a beautiful song. And I, you and I have talked before, and there's so much to talk about with music. The thing that I love about it, the thing that gets me is that it's like an endless ocean. You can't capture it. You can't put it in a box and say, this is it. This is the way it should be done. this is the way I like it. This is the, like, people will look at certain things and think, you know, this is how music should be done. But that's never going to be the case. It always grows and it always is so amazing. What is it that struck you, and how did you get bit by the music bug? Maybe you could take us back, Anne, to when you were a young growing up and how music influenced your life.
I think I've always seen music as a kind of a release from, I don't want to say the day-to-day grind, because I guess when you're a kid, you don't have the day-to-day grind yet, but you do have, you know, situations that you're in that you always feel like you want to be somewhere else. And so for myself, turning on music was just a nice way to escape for me. Just always has been a great release for me.
Now, what were some of the things? Talk about how, you know, growing up and where you grew up. I don't know if it's a small town or what, but it's very interesting to me. And one of the things I like doing on this show is that people can get to know Ann Wilson and get to know the musician and get to know a little bit about it. I tell a story, you know, a lot about how that I was listening to QFM 96 years ago, and I was walking the dog, Ann, and I heard an interview with Meatloaf, and I was not even a Meatloaf fan, and I didn't even understand his music. But after the interview was over, I had this appreciation for his music that I didn't have before. So that's one of the reasons I like to talk and to get people to know the person. What when you were growing up, was it a musical family? How did you get interested in singing?
I didn't really come from a musical family at all. I often wonder how I became a singer after hearing my parents sing, because neither of them has a particularly strong voice or an interest necessarily in music. So I guess I was drawn to it at an early age, and I always participated in things like choir at school. And I kind of wish I would have been from a school that had more of a music scene. I grew up in the suburbs of Columbus in Grove City, and I don't remember there being garage bands or people doing anything other than performing in the school choir, which I did, performing in musical theater just in by way of the school, doing things like that. So for myself, I guess my interest in music maybe came later in life. I didn't have an opportunity until I really was in my 30s and just kind of fell into performing, that I got a chance to express myself, even though I've always really loved music and been touched by different kinds of music. And I think looking back in my life, I can relate very strongly to certain artists at certain times of my life, and how they made me feel. And that's a way for me to really visit some different times and different places that I've been even.
Now, who were some of the artists, Dan, that you listened to when you were younger, and it was like what I would call a head turner, something you stopped and thought, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Were there some artists that you listened to at that point that you thought, okay, this isn't just a song on the radio, this is amazing and I want to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Melissa Etheridge was someone that when I was maybe right around college age, I really became interested in. Maybe her, like other strong female singers, was one of the reasons why I wanted to start the project that I'm doing now, instead of being in someone else's band and getting to let them pick the music, which maybe wouldn't be so much from my heart. But Melissa Etheridge and her lyrics and her style and her panache, the way she carries herself, as well as the feelings that she can make you feel just through her voice, as well as her amazing lyrics. Those are the kinds of songs and singers that just make you feel something. And so I just remember her being instrumental, I guess, in developing my love of music. Her and, of course, any woman that was, you know, alive in the late 80s and 90s is going to say they were affected by Alanis Morissette in some way or another. In the strength, I guess I'm drawn to female artists' strengths and power. Tina Turner, you know, the things that she had overcome and her stage presence and the way she could just belt it out. And even more recently, artists like Adele, that, you know, none of these folks are necessarily, I guess, what you would say, conform to the female ideal. They're all just a little bit different than what I guess our American ideal of beauty is, but they don't care. They put it out there, and they're strong women, and you can tell. You can tell from the way that they perform and the lyrics and just the tone of their voice.
Yeah, it's some really good things to talk about there, because with Melissa Etheridge, her vocals and the way she performed was very strong. And it was at a point where I've never really delved into this, but, you know, one of the things I love to do is like hit on an artist and just go as deep as I can about them and learn about them and about how that was accepted, you know, when she was starting out and how her, you know, her style, what was going on there. Because a lot of times in the interviews I've had, Ann, that whether it would be we could say, you know, with right now with like female artists, that okay, we can sign you, we can do this, but you know, you've got to sound like this, you've got to do this, you've got to fit into this box. Now, what I've got from the people that you were talking about is that the people that didn't fit in that box were the ones that influenced you, because, gosh, there's nobody with a stronger voice than Tina Turner, and her incredible delivery. And that's another thing that I think is so amazing about music, how that – now, you were talking, Anne, that you didn't start performing until you were in your 30s, and – we'll go back to that, because I think that's something like a fever. You know, it's like a lot of people go through that, like you talk about in college and different things with music, and a lot of people are in bands when they're younger, but when they get, you know, oh, I have to actually put food on the table, and I actually have to pay the rent and things like that, that you have to kind of, you know, go out and get a normal job. And sometimes those feelings, those musical feelings, as strong as they are, the talents are hidden. And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah. And to me, it's so interesting when somebody decides to say, you know what, I can't keep the light down anymore. I've got to let it shine. And I interviewed this one lady, and I want to talk about this for a second. I can't remember her name, and I can look it up. It's been several years ago. And she was on my show a couple of times, and she was going for her doctorate, and she was in Iowa, and she had her music career. And a lot of people that I interview have balance, you know, they have a job and they have their career, and some people will go one way or the other. They'll just put music to the side and go with their career, or they'll do the other thing. Well, gosh, I'll think of her name in a minute, but she decided when we were talking, you know, I had nothing to do with it, but she stopped her doctorate degree, stopped studying, and became a full-time musician and sunk a whole lot of money into it. Now, I just thought of her today. I have to look her up and see how she's doing. But this has happened to several people that I've talked to. I know a guy in Alaska that told his family this. You know, these are interesting things to me. He said, we're going to Nashville, and I'm going to be a country star. Now, that's one in a million, you know, but what do you think of that? I mean, as an artist.
Are you encouraging me to do that, John?
You know what? I couldn't do it because, well, with me, I had the love for music. I just didn't have the talent. I mean, I could have probably studied harder and done more. But I think it's interesting to me when people make decisions like that. I'm working. I do a series of interviews with two or three people right now that I'm working on. The guy from Alaska went to Nashville. I knew a guy from Detroit that went to Nashville. He's back in Detroit. I know the guy that from Alaska, and he's still there. It's just one of those things that I guess it's just my curious nature about the musician. How much time does Ann Wilson spend thinking about music in a day?
That's a good question. Yeah, and I am one of those balanced people. So by the time I was in my 30s and was offered a spot in a local band, I had already had a couple of kids and was, you know, pursuing a career and had that 9-to-5 job. So this has been always something that I've had to balance with my other responsibilities. And so that it depends. It kind of it varies. Sometimes I'm busier than other times, but you know, music's always a part of my life, whether I'm performing or not. Certainly, and being in a band and being the manager of the band not only means that, you know, you're passionate about performing, but you always have that other job, which is being the manager, doing bookings and promotings and all the other things that come along with it too. So not only, you know, the 9-to-5 job, but the job of band manager, and then that thing that we always work towards, which is the actual performance time, which sometimes can be, you know, less than the grunt work that's involved with all the other, you know, parts of booking and set lists and managing the guys in the band and making sure things are ironed out there. So I guess my simple answer would be not enough time, because I wish I had more hours in the day, and I wish I could do more. And, you know, I really do strive to, because I do have a 14 and a 15-year-old who are busy kids and both involved in music, which I love. But I want, you know, to be there for them and their activities and their things too. So I try to minimize for now. And I know that soon I'll be more available to do more, but I try to make myself as available to them as I can. And I try to strike that balance.
My guest is Ann Wilson, and you can go on her website. Let's see if I get this right, Ann. It's 6footblondeband.com. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I always like it when I get things right, because I'll like mix up letters and things. But and please visit Ann's website and the band. And I'm going to ask you, you know, before we go any farther, how about gigs, and is there anything coming up that if people wanted to hear 6 Foot Blonde, what they any place that they could go in the near future?
Well, our New Year's Eve gig is a private gig at a country club in Westerville. So unfortunately, that one's not going to be open to the public. And we actually are taking a little bit of time in January to do some rehearsing, adding some new music. But we will be on the first Friday of February at Scioto Downs, which is a great venue.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great place to come to play. They've got a beautiful new stage at Brew Brothers. Wonderful sound, and, you know, great food and live entertainment, or and gambling, of course. So I would encourage you to come out there. It's a great place, a great venue. But there'll be other dates and times on the website there at 6footblondeband.com. We've been doing more private things, maybe than we used to. We just did a corporate Christmas party for a gentleman for whom we provided entertainment for both of his daughters' weddings, which is fantastic.
Wow.
We love doing those weddings. And we did the Reichert Christmas party a year or two ago, and we had Fred Reichert on stage playing with us. So we're so open to those kinds of opportunities, because wherever we play, we enjoy the celebration part of it.
Okay, I have a question for you, Ann. Can Fred play the guitar?
Yeah, he really can. Yeah, he really can. And he sang some songs with us. He's a riot. He's very fun.
Did he sing old-time rock and roll? That's what I would imagine he would sing some of that.
You know, it wasn't old-time rock and roll. I think he helped us out on Mustang Sally, and I'm trying to remember the other one. It wasn't one that we normally do, but the guys in the band knew it. And I think he did 2, 3, 4 songs with us. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we do have listeners from all over the place. We have people that listen from different countries, and we're talking about Fred Reichert. And if you need a car, he can sell you a car. He's out in Canal Winchester outside of Columbus, and he's just a real character in the Columbus scene. He's got these amazing commercials where they put a lot of time into it. So that's who Fred Reichert is. But when you were talking about, you know, taking a little time out to work on songs, that's something interesting too. Because do you have songs, Anne, that you play that you know that are popular and that people like to listen to, but they aren't necessarily something that you like? How do you choose the songs that you're like the band? It's you talked earlier, and you did hit on that one of the reasons that for 6 Foot Blonde is that you can sing the songs of strong female artists, and you can get those vocals out there, which I think is great. What is there, and also, you know, my brain goes in about a million different places, but you were also talking about the business side of it. And it has, you have to think that way. When you're thinking about compiling your set list, getting your music together, people want to have a good time, right? That's why they go out. And how do you choose the music? And how do you, and are there songs that you played that you don't think are like one of your favorites, but you know when you play it, other people are going to love it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So the guys in my band, they, I mean, you're right. It's a business, and you want people to enjoy themselves and have fun. And, you know, as a singer, of course, I'd love to pick every song that, you know, highlights my vocals, but that's not realistic. It's just like when you go to karaoke and everybody sings a slow song. They sound great. Everybody's crying in their beer, you know. So you have to keep the atmosphere happy and celebratory. And the guys in my band laugh every time I create a set list because they're like, oh, let's see how many songs in we get before Ann changes it up. And the reason that I do that is because I've just become pretty adept at noticing what's happening in the crowd. So obviously, if people come up to dance in the first set, which, you know, they don't always do, that means that instead of doing two dance songs and going back to something maybe a little slower or very slow, you know, we're just going to start doing dance songs because we want people to have fun. We don't want anybody to sit down. So you do have to be very conscious of the mood in the room, the atmosphere in the room, and I've taken a lot of ribbing for that, but I don't care. I will anyway. And there are always songs that, you know, you roll your eyes inwardly, you know, when they ask for Freebird. Well, we don't really do Freebird. We did that in our last band. And there's nothing wrong with the Freebird, but every musician gets that shouted to them multiple times during a show. But there definitely are. I mean, you're not up there just to do everything that you want to do. That's just not the reality of it. You have to balance that. And there are many songs that I thought would go over great that die a miserable death after one show because the vibe isn't there. And they're great songs, and you wish they worked. You can't find a – you may look around in the set list and say, how about the end of the first set? How about the beginning of the third? You can't find a place for them. Whereas other songs you can play just about any time of night, and you'll have five people on stage singing along with you and playing the tambourine. And that's, you know, that's what my goal is. I want people to feel like they're in the band too. We have people all the time that come up and play the drums with us, play different instruments. We welcome people to come up and sing backgrounds or even leads, play the different guitars. The guys are great about sharing the stage, but we want people to feel like they're welcome and we're there to make sure that they're having a good time. And I don't know, that's the joy. And I think that's one of the main reasons that I play out and I do all this work is just the joy that it brings me and hopefully that it brings other people too.
Do you have any interesting stories, Ann Wilson, that have come from your playing on stage and playing in bars and playing in clubs that would be interesting to the listeners? And I'm saying that because I've asked that before. I had this one band from Lake Erie that came on and told me that they were playing a gig and the female singer was dancing and her shoe fell off. And wait a minute, somebody from the audience was dancing and her high heel shot off of her foot and hit the guitar player on the head. And I thought, you know, he was fine. He wasn't hurt, you know,
yep.
But they were just telling us stories about that because they play in a lot of the, you know, clubs and places up there. And I know you've got to have some interesting stories. You don't have to tell me, but if you have some that you can tell.
Oh, gosh. Oh, stuff happens all the time. I mean, it's hilarious. We do have people fall into us quite normally, often. People will be I mean, they're dancing in front of you. Of course, once in a while, they're going to miss a step and fall into your your sound equipment or into you. That happens all the time. We often ask people to come up and play the tambourine, and I'd say about 25% of the time they're pretty good on the, you know, the beat. 75% of the time they're maybe rhythmically challenged. which is funny, and we try to keep that going. Probably the funniest thing that happened, we were playing a wedding at the State House, the Ohio State House, which is a beautiful venue, and this was just an amazing wedding. They had the OSU alumni band, and Brutus Buckeye was there, and just
wow.
a great family, great time. We had a nice stage set up, not too big. By the end of the night, we had the entire bridal party on stage, singing into our mics, and the bride actually ended up with a tambourine and hit me in the head with the tambourine. We just kept the show going because
the show must go on.
It was probably the show must go on every time. I remember, and the only time I've fallen down on stage was during the end of Sweet Child of Mine, where I really, really loved to belt that song out, and
yep.
I slipped on a cord or something, fell on my back. It was up at a place at Polaris. Fell on my back, but was able to just finish this long howling note at the end of the song. And it almost looked like I planned it. I'd like to feel like it looked like I planned it, even though I didn't.
It was, you choreographed it beautifully, yeah.
Choreographed it beautifully, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so many things that happened, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like, you know, I also talk to bands that now you guys play like a lot of upbeat stuff, but when and they play a lot of cover songs. So you've got to be able, like you said, Anne, and I know that there's a science to it. You've got to be able to get the attention of the people, and you want them to be into it. And if they like, I know bands that are really into their own stuff, which is cool. It's great. It's very good. But nobody knows the music. So when they start playing it, they're like, everybody's looking at each other like, there might be three or four people that know it, but they're not into it. So you've got to really know how to entertain people. I mean, it's, there can be this thing where, oh, you know, I want everybody to know our music, but there's also got to be this line that, you know, I've always thought of it this way, you know, people are taking their time out. They're coming to the gig, you know, they're paying money, they're getting babysitters, you know, and there's that whole kind of chemistry thing going on there that you, it seems like you've really got a handle on that because
it
that's,
just comes
that's
from practice. Yep. It just comes from trial and error. Just like adding a new song, it may work, it may not work. I mean, we've all made errors and mistakes and played that slow song when it should have been a fast song and everybody left at the end of the second set. And so really it is just trial and error. And it's become a skill. It's something that you just, as a front person, you just have to develop. It's just like your singing voice. When I started singing, you know, my range wasn't very wide. And, you know, now I can sing songs that I never could have sung when I first started singing because, you know, it's just a muscle like anything else. And you develop it and flex it and you get this great range that you didn't have before. It's the same thing.
Well, that's a great question, too, because I did want to ask you about that, about your voice and about, you know, it's winter and there's colds and all kinds of stuff going on. And what do you do to protect your voice and to keep your voice strong?
You know, if I was playing three or four nights a week like a lot of bands do, I think it would be more of an issue for me. But I guess I've somehow been pretty lucky and I haven't had a lot of problems with you know, losing my, I don't really do any, you know, there's lots of things like throat code. And if I'm having a little bit of a sore throat, certainly I'll have my, you know, hot tea with lemon and honey, things like that. But mostly I just muscle through on those times. And quite frankly, I sound a little bit more like Melissa Etheridge when I have a slight cold and that's
there you
good
go.
Too.
Well, we started off the show with the song "Make You Mine," and you said that you worked with, was it Elliot Hosenfeld?
Hosenfeld, yeah. So Elliot's a local artist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elliot Hosenfeld.
Yes.
He's a local artist that also has a project that is an originals project that's pretty good.
Well, that's really cool. We're going to play another song. We're going to play "I Need You Now." And those are pretty, they're beautiful songs. Like, you know, they're very kind of deep and heavy. When you're singing a song and Do you have to, like, you're in a show, and I don't know exactly how this would work from your perspective, but when you're playing songs that are kind of upbeat and people are really into them, people know them, but you got to change it up and you got to go to a more deeper song, maybe with more maybe of a blues or something like that. How do you handle that mentally? I mean, do you have to get into another mindset, or is that just a part of it? I don't know what that would be. I'm just curious.
You know, for me, I love the variety, and that's something that people say all the time. They say, I can't believe you just did, you know, rock and pop and blues and jazz and country and even a little bit of rap from our keyboard guy, all in the same night. So I kind of thrive on changing it up because I love it. It makes it interesting for me, and I don't want people to expect a certain thing from me. I want to be able to do a little bit of everything, just like I do in my life. I have like 5 jobs, and I think variety, I guess it's corny to say variety is the spice of life, but it really is to me. So I enjoy bringing it down, slowing it down. Every singer loves to sing a ballad or something that's, there's so much expression, I think, when you slow things down that you can put in your voice that's hard to have in your voice when you're singing quickly or singing something that's just a faster song. You can control your voice more. You can put that expression in it. You can connect with people. Give them a chance to slow down and dance together. And it's a whole different vibe, but it's a lovely thing to do.
Yeah, that's cool. Ann Wilson is my guest. You can go on her website, 6FootBlondeBand.com, and let's play another song. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about different styles of music and about how that, you know, some of the influences that you've had and how that, you know, made you what you are today musically. And then I also want to talk a little bit, Ann, about the current music industry, the Columbus, Ohio. For people that I know from other, I've got relationships with musicians all over the world, and a lot of them have never heard of Columbus, let alone know anything about it. it's true. It's like, oh, Ohio State University, and then they go, oh, okay. But Columbus has so much great music and musicians. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've tried hard to get a lot of them on my show, and I've done that. But I think just to throw a little thing out there before we take a music break is that Columbus, Ohio has so many amazing musicians. I mean, it goes to the realm of like blues. There's this really incredible metal scene in Columbus with all these metal bands. Mm-hmm. There's like the alternate rock scene. There's just incredible. I think a lot of it might have to do with the Ohio State University, but yeah, that's pretty cool. But we'll be right back. We're going to do the song. This is Need You Now. Is there anything you'd like to talk about this song or anything you'd like to talk about the song we opened up the show with, Make You Mine?
No, I credit for most of the writing on that one to Elliot Hosenfeld, also on the great background vocals and instrumentation. He recorded that at his studio, which is Moo Pig Face Studios. He's a great sound tech and just a great guy, great musician. Plays out also. He plays covers, but he also, again, has that originals project. He's kind of straddling the line between those two worlds, which I think is interesting. And, you know, we can talk more about that. But credit to him for helping me write this and record it.
This is Ann Wilson, Need You Now. We'll be right back after this, so don't go anywhere.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone, cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. It's a cold. a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. And I said I wouldn't call, but I'm a little drunk and I need you now. And I don't know how I could do without. I just need you now.
And we want to welcome you back to John Talk Radio. This is our Wednesday, December the 28th, 2016 show. And my guest is Ann Wilson of the band 6 Foot Blonde. You can go on the website 6FootBlondeBand.com and learn all about the band and all about Ann. And you just heard a beautiful song that was with her and Elliot Hosenfeld. And that's... That song's a pretty cool song. I mean, that's a cover. Is it Lady Antebellum?
It is, yeah.
Do I get credit for that? Do I get somebody ring a bell or something? I actually remember something. John remembered something. But when you hear that, let's go back to when you first heard that song. And you're thinking, I mean, you had to be in the radio. I don't know how that worked. I think it's... one of the coolest things in the world for me when I hear a song that just hits, man, it just hits me. It's like, wow, I got to know who sings that. I got to figure that out. I got to understand that. What was it like when you heard that song? Because that fits your voice perfectly. I mean,
you.
And you do a great job with it, but it's an emotional song.
It is.
I think.
It is. And
yeah.
One of the things I love the most about that is just the harmonies on there. I love a good male, female vocal. A duet. I won't lie to you there. It's just something about it, I think. So I think that's probably the first thing that I noticed, that the harmonies and the fact that it was a male-female duet. And it tells a story, right? I mean, we can all relate to that person, you know, that, and that's the best thing about music, but that person that we're still thinking about, maybe it was last week that we knew him, maybe it was 20 years ago we knew him, that we'd love to see him walk through that door. That's what brings music home for me, and I think everybody, you know, is that storytelling part of it. And it's a fun song to sing. It's an easy song to sing. It's fun to do at the end of the night, you know, the quarter after one. Hey.
Yeah.
So, and some songs do touch you like that, and you just think, I have to do that one, and you throw it in the set list and you rehearse it. And you throw it out there and you see how do people react to it. And Lady Antebellum is one of those songs or one of those artists that people often ask. And just based on, I think, an artist's voice, you'll hear, like people always ask me, what Stevie Nicks do you do? You know, what Janis Joplin songs do you do? What Alanis Morissette? Based, I guess, on how you sound, they're going to ask you for songs that kind of remind them. Country is an interesting direction that I'm thinking about doing more in because it's fun to sing, it's easy to sing, it has a good story. This country rock that's out now, it's fun. It's fun music. The women are often badasses, which is great. And, you know, they just don't care. I find that great. I love it, you know. Be who you are and express it through your music. So.
No, I totally agree. I think that, to me, it's like one of those things where I don't really like to categorize things. You know, I hear a song, like I love bluegrass music, and I love jazz music, and I love gospel music, and I love, you know, garage rock music. It to me, it's like I don't have to like one over the other. I don't have to do that. I can like everything. And so there's some music I don't like. There's songs that I hear that I don't care for much. But like you were just talking about how that, you know, that song, you know, it just it gets your attention. And plus, there is this crossover thing going on now with country music. Now, there's some people in Columbus, Ohio. I'm not sure. See, this is the interesting thing, Anne, about Columbus music. I can talk to some people that are in the jazz scene that know no one in the blues scene. And I can talk to guys in the blues scene that know no one in the alternate rock scene. But there are people that, you know, they do connect every once in a while. But it's funny how the little pockets can exist. And a lot of people don't know each other. Like right now in Columbus, there's some, like Lydia Loveless. Are you aware of her?
Yeah,
she's doing great. I mean, she's got a big record deal. She's been on, like, I think Jimmy Kimmel and stuff like that. And that's a country girl. She's I don't think she's very old either. And you know, when people talk about, you're talking about that, the country's sound right now. I mean, she's got more of a rock country thing going on. Mm-hmm. Like Angela Purley. I don't know if you're familiar with Angela.
Mm-mm.
From the Columbus area. Yeah, well, these artists are female artists that are just unbelievably awesome that I've had on the show. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Angela, Erica Blinn. I don't know if you know Erica. These are young.
They're young
people. Yeah, she's really good too. But they've kind of, some of their songs, and why I'm talking about this is what you were talking about with Lady Antebellum and some of these bands that, you know, they're crossing over from country into rock, and sometimes it's just pop and you're really not sure where. I don't even know how they know what radio stations to play them on, you know. That's why I think it's so cool about it. Now, you talked a little earlier about, you know, taking some music to the band for new music. How do you do that, and can you share with us maybe some of the songs you're thinking about
putting in the list? I always have a laundry list of ones that I want to do. And then, you know, I let the guys pick a couple because I'm not the only one that sings in the band. I think one of the things that I really love is that we've got several very strong lead vocalists in the band, as well as I think something that does set us apart is we've got great harmony. So there have been times in the band when I've been the only singer or have had somebody, maybe he'll sing a song or two a night or do a little bit of harmonies. But right now I've got a couple of guys that very successfully can pull off lead vocals and do. Elliot plays with us sometimes and does some great stuff, and a couple of other guys. My band kind of changes as to who might be available at which particular time, which is great because then it's a different show for us every time. But that's a good question about, and we're really kind of giving some thought about what direction we want to go. You know, there are some folks that in the band that are thinking that we might go more of a country rock direction, I guess, for a couple reasons. One, it's nice to shift, I guess, your focus sometimes and keep it fresh. And two, I think there's not a lot of cover bands that I'm aware of in Columbus that are mostly focused on country. It's never been my favorite genre. That doesn't mean that I don't like it. I think I just haven't devoted enough time to it because I do enjoy it. So I think taking this next maybe 5 or 6 weeks to kind of give some thought to where I'd like to go, which direction. So I guess I don't have a good answer to what kind of music's coming up, but I think it'll be good. I think throw some stuff against the wall and see if it sticks and just go from there.
What's a typical rehearsal session like for 6 Foot Blonde?
Oh, it's always fun. It's very silly. There's usually a good 10 or 15 minutes of the guys just jamming to whatever metal songs they like. They love metal. They love metal. And the third set, they'll often do some. And just silliness. You know, we're all such good friends. We've played together for years. We know each other's families. So it's always just fun. The bottom line is it's fun. Some, you know, we'll have a couple of beers and kick back and relax and see kind of where things go. It's good times. We probably should rehearse a little more than we do. We typically, historically, have played a lot, although we've slowed down a little bit this year just due to the fact that we're all so very busy. So sometimes, if we're feeling crazy, we'll just show up and play a song in the third set of a gig and just see how it goes. And that would be songs that, you know, we've all probably played with other bands. And that's the nice thing about the folks that we have in the band is that we've got a lot of collective experience. We've got many, many years of experience. So one thing that we like to do, we say we'll play 5 seconds of any song, whether it's good or bad. But often one of us will be able to pull it off and lead a song that people request because, you know, that's part of the experience of being out is, hey, I've got a favorite song I want to hear, or, hey, you would sound great on this, or, hey, have you heard this one? Would you give it a try? We always want to try to do that if we can, just because, you know, we want to provide that experience for folks. And for us, it's fun, too. It's a challenge. So it's not always about preparing ahead. Sometimes it's about, you know, doing what folks want, you know, the song that they want to hear.
Is there going to be an Ann Wilson solo record out?
You know, give me another year or two to get my kids out of the house, and then you never know. I do really put an emphasis on making sure that they know I'm around. And that's one of the reasons that I haven't explored a lot of the different realms of the Columbus music scene is because if I play out on one night on the weekend, I want to be home the next night with my kids.
Yeah,
and so I haven't had a lot of time to be out and see other artists. And I wish I could, I really do. And I had the opportunity, oh gosh, it must've been 5 years ago or so. We were playing at a bar in Powell, and I had a gentleman who was an ex-NFL football player come up to me and say, you know, I had somebody early in my career do some things for me that really made me a successful person, and I really want to take you to Nashville. I know some people there, and I think we can really get something going. But, you know, my kids were 7 and 8 or 8 and 9, and at that point, I just really needed to put them first, and, you know, I couldn't leave them. And it's just, I guess that kind of stuff is just about timing, right? So I'm hoping for that time.
Yeah, I totally respect that. I think it's one of the coolest things. I think people have to make those decisions, you know. It's like I interviewed a bluegrass band, Dora DeLauder, and she was she hadn't played in years because she had gone to Nashville when she was young, and she had a record deal, and she had her own record deal, and it was distributed all over, and she had singles, and she was doing really good, and she got pregnant and quit the business and raised a family. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that during the interview, and it was like that. It wasn't even a question for her. It was like that was the most important thing to her, were her kids and her family. And she's incredible. I sat right in the studio with her and listened to her sing, and I thought, my goodness, she's got this very unique voice that could, you know, who knows what could have happened. But, you know, I think that, you know, what you're doing is very honorable, and I like it because I kind of did the same thing once when, you know, with my job, I had all these things going on, and I just had to stop and think, you know, we have 5 kids. So it was like, my God, Marcy's going to kill me. I got to get home. And, you know, I just have to. And so it was like, you know, I could have done other things, you know, with the job. And I work for IBM, so they're moving people all over the world. You know, you can go everywhere. But it was a point where I thought, you know, I told the kids once, I had a little meeting with them. I said, like me, don't like me, whatever, but I'm going to be here. They like looked at me like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I feel like I've gotten away with more than I should have, because I have, you know, we played and opened for the Crew. We played for the Clippers. We've done, you know, Heine Gate. We've done so many weddings and the Ohio State Fair and festivals, and we've done so much, and I'm so grateful for all those opportunities, and still to be able to be so close to my family and be here for everything. You know, I haven't missed anything important that they've done. They've allowed me to take the time to be out and express myself and have that other side of me. You know, music for me is not only that joy that I talked about, but expressing myself. It's a release from the stress of, you know, having a a 9-to-5 job and kids and rental properties and side businesses and all the things that I do to make sure my family's financially taken care of. But for me, emotionally, just being able to be in front of people on the weekends and provide that joy and express myself, I feel lucky to have had the opportunity to do that and to play with, gosh, all the great musicians that I've gotten to play with, you know, through the years. I mean, I started the band with a couple of guys and a couple girls. I loved having girls in the band. I'd love to have more female musicians out there. But and, you know, the cast of characters has changed through the years. Folks have come and gone, which is understandable. That does happen. But I've had the pleasure of working with just a lot of wonderful, wonderful musicians. And I'm really grateful for that.
Would you like to introduce the current lineup for 6 Foot Blonde?
Sure, yeah. So on bass, Todd Berry plays the bass. He's also an amazing singer. He's got this beautiful, nice, deep voice. And he is just the funkiest bass player that I have ever played with. He's amazing. He's played around for many, many years. Was in a band called Shock 2. I think he's subbed for or played with Shuck and Bubba. These are all Columbus kind of bands. His good buddy, Rob Fradiani, is our drummer. John Randall also is a drummer for us. He just went out on surgery. Rob had the same surgery before that, torn rotator cuff. So we have a couple of drummers to kind of rotate in. Elliot Hosenfeld is our guitar player, one of our guitar players. He and kind of Jason Greenwald, who does rhythm guitar and keys, kind of share a spot. So it kind of depends on who's available when, which is great because we love the variety, and they're both amazing singers. And then Rob Armstrong is our solid number one lead guitar guy. He's amazing. He came from a band called Martini Affair here in Columbus. It's another gigging band. So I couldn't have asked for a nicer group of guys, great fun on stage, just silly, you know, they'll mess with each other on stage. They'll be singing and they'll all have their harmonies and they'll stop and leave one guy out and they'll look at each other and laugh. You know, they pull pranks on each other. They're silly. They put up with my silly, you know, set changes and goofiness. And I don't know, I'm always trying to pull people on stage and get people involved. I just think, you know, that's the stuff of life to me. I'm not one of those folks who's going to stand up there and sing and then sit on my break in the corner. You know, I want to meet people. I want to get to know them. I want them to get to know me. I genuinely care about people. I want them to have a good time. You know, these are precious moments that they have away from their families, from their jobs, from their homes. And I just want to make sure that they have a good time. And I think all the guys that play with me feel the same way too. They, you know, we just get in this groove, you know, it's this higher experience. You know, it's hard to describe, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, Ann, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight to be on the show.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure, and it's been a real pleasure getting to know you.
Yeah, it's been really cool. And if you, and Rob were here at my house, my wife and I's house, for a housewarming, and it was just amazing. And you did such a great job. But I just encourage everybody to go to your website, 6footblondeband.com, and we'll follow you. And I just wish the best for you and you and the band.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, and I'm glad you had a great birthday yesterday and you're feeling better. And keep doing what you're doing. I think it's an important thing. I know you mentioned earlier maybe you don't have the greatest musical talent in the world, but, you know, we need guys like you doing this kind of stuff so that we can express ourselves this way, too. It does make you think a little bit, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah, it's funny. I play guitar and play the bass, and my wife, Marcy, for the first part of the whenever I would play, she said I would get in this place, Anne, where I would just tune the guitar and it just had to sound right, so I couldn't. And she said, "Have you ever played a song, or do you just tune the guitar the whole time?" So
hey,
I thought,
that's an art
too. You know, yeah, that's my gig, is just tuning the guitar for an hour. But thank you so much.
Hey, that's important too. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, say hi to the family, and we'll definitely have to do it again. And you might see me out in the audience someday, waving my arms and
I'd
screaming out "Freebird." That'll be me.
Hey, we'll get you on stage for sure.
Oh no, I'll be way in the back. Well, thanks, Ann. Take care, and
I just want to say thanks
to everybody that has supported John Talk Radio through the years. We have some good shows coming up. We've got some really good ones that lined up for 2017. So stick around. Thank you so much. And everybody have a great evening. We'll talk to you later, Ann.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today.
Something about this place. Something about drives a Jeep and live on the beach.
Ra, ra, ah, 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 Roma, Roma, ma, ga, ga, ooh, la, la, watch all that romance. Ra, ra.
So cool.